Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Nagler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels on a Tuesday that saw the media at Reinicke Field observing open OTA practice number two for phase three of the Green Bay Packers offseason program. That's right, baby. Some more guys in shorts running around, and we obsess over it because that's what we do as Packers fans, and specifically here at Cheesehead TV. Hope you're all doing well. Hope you're all having a good Tuesday. Dive right into it. A lot of stuff to talk about from OTA practice today. The headline, obviously, is Josh Jacobs returned. From what I've seen, he did not speak in locker room afterwards, though a lot of his roommates, teammates did. But Jacobs was out there, full participant. As Matt LaFleur indicated before practice, it is, quote, business as usual when it comes to his participation. So, no news on that front as far as the off-field concerns, but Josh Jacobs back at practice along with a couple other guys in the mix as far as the running back position goes. Marshawn Lloyd did participate in group sessions and team sessions, which he did not last week when the media was there. So that's a positive development. A few more bodies there in the offensive backfield. Speaking of offense, the offensive line saw one Jager Burton there at right guard with the ones, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. You'll remember my video from last week when I talked about the do's and don'ts of OTAs. We're certainly not going to break any of those tenets here, but you'll recall I did say, notice if there are young guys working with the ones, and lo and behold, here we are with a rookie, i.e. young guy, working with the ones. Very exciting stuff for the young man. Playing right guard there, also played left guard later in practice, but definitely was with the ones when they started team stuff with Anthony Belton kicking out to right tackle in place of Zach Tom as he continues to recover. But this is what we want to see, baby. We love this kid here at Cheesehead TV. You guys know he was one of my draft crushes, and the Packers seemingly recognize the opportunity here to inject a little bit of talent, upside, what have you, along the offensive line. Now, nothing's going to get decided in June. Nothing's going to, you know, be given to the young man after an OTA practice, and we're not suggesting otherwise. But I do think he's got an opportunity. Anytime you're a rookie, especially in Green Bay, Wisconsin, and you're allowed, given the chance to run with the ones in any practice situation, that bodes well. Now, it is up to him. It is up to Burton to make the most of that opportunity, but certainly a welcome development along an offensive line that grossly underperformed in 2025 and desperately needs to be better in 2026. Not saying it's going to happen overnight or it's going to be week one, but I got to think at some point in the 2026 season, Jager Burton's going to at least be in the conversation along the starting five. So we will see how it continues here in the offseason and into training camp, but that is certainly notable. And then flipping it over on the other side, on the defensive side of the ball, the Packers had Chris McClellan working with the ones there along the defensive front with Devontae Wyatt still out recovering from his ankle injury. Another rookie getting a chance there, getting an opportunity as the Packers, you know, shuffle things around, playing with a lot of different formations and personnel groupings. We talked about this a couple days ago after Paul Bredel's observations at last week's OTA practice. Packers continuing to move guys all over the map. They even showed a 5-1 formation at one point with Edgerrin Cooper opposite Lucas Van Ness on the edge. Now, that's something we've talked about quite a bit here at Cheesehead TV. I know a lot of folks have wondered, would Edgerrin Cooper be able to play along the edge on the outside? I would suspect that's a very specific situational formation that they would turn to in only, you know, very specific situations, but it's nice to see them kind of playing with it and getting that maybe in their holster as far as particular offenses that they think they can take advantage of with Cooper's speed and athleticism on the edge. And goodness knows, while they're waiting for Micah Parsons to return early in the season, be nice to have a lot of different things to throw at opposing offenses, including Edgerrin Cooper terrorizing quarterbacks. I love to see it. I love to see the the lab nature of OTAs, and hopefully we'll get more of that next week. A lot more obviously went on today. I know Trey Smack missed a number of kicks, and I've already seen people freaking out online. I will say, according to Rob Domofsky and a few other people, there were some very crazy crosswinds at practice today at Ray Nitschke. And I will say, we've seen this before. You know, almost every guy, going back, even including Mason Crosby, who kicks on the regular at Ray Nitschke, has a day like this where the winds are ridiculous. They're never that, well, the experience on Ray Nitschke Field in Lambeau or in most of the stadiums, right? But regardless, you are going to face adverse conditions as a kicker. And hopefully, Trey Smack takes a look at this footage, how his approach was, and works with, you know, the new special teams coordinator. And if and when something like this occurs again, probably this summer, during training camp, there's always a day or two that are crazy windy. Hopefully he has a better approach, something that he has learned by watching today's practice film and then practicing whatever adjustments he needs to make, and becomes a lot more consistent in those conditions. Again, this is not new. I would not freak out about it, although I know this is the internet and that's what people want to do. But anyway, there's a lot more to talk about as well. I'm sure you'll have questions. I have a post up at cheeseheadtv.com that you can read for kind of observations from the coverage of OTAs. Make sure you check that out. And make sure you check out our friends over at Ticket King, because you know you want to go see the Green Bay Packers play football this year. You know you want to do it. Get yourself some tickets at Ticket King. Ticket King has been based in Wisconsin since 1992. Don't use Ticketmaster, StubHub, SeatGeek, none of these national companies. Use the company based right across from Lambeau Field. And if you're not in Green Bay, no problem. Just use the Ticket King link in the description of this video or at cheeseheadtv.com. Also, got to give a shout out to our friends over at ThetaCare. Don't let pain sideline your golf game this season. Stop in to ThetaCare Orthopedic Walk-In Care in Appleton. Open 7 days a week. They'll help you get back in the game quickly. Learn more at thetacare.org. All right, folks, how we doing? Let's see what we got here going on. Connie, this is a very fair question. Why is Mahomes so far ahead of Micah in recovering from their injuries? They were both injured on the same day. Something to remember is that every single injury is different, and what they're asked to do positionally is different. And we haven't really seen much in regards to Micah Parsons when it comes to his work on a practice field, right? I know there's been footage of Mahomes at Chiefs practice. A couple clips have been floating around out there. But Micah just got back with the team this week. You know, he was not in attendance last week at OTAs, which is fine. It was voluntary, right? He's clearly been rehabbing down in Texas. But everybody, every single injury is different. And recovery times can be different, you know. Plus, I would also point out that, you know, he's walking around. He's not got the cane anymore. He's running, doing things that are going to prepare him on the rehab kind of journey process that he's on. But he's also, again, playing a very different position. Mahomes standing there and making some passes without a pass rush, without like real pushing out from under center and stuff like that, is very different than playing defensive end slash outside linebacker in the NFL. They're going to be very, very different paths for two very, very different positions and or players. But, you know, the kind of overarching thing here is we aren't privy to any of the medical stuff. You know, just because you've seen some clips of Patrick Mahomes, that doesn't mean we know anything about where he is as far as his recovery goes, you know. But Micah is certainly going to be brought along conservatively. That's what the Packers do, and I think they're smart to do it. But just when you're trying to compare and contrast about guys recovering from injuries, just remember, every single situation is different. What they're dealing with is different. And, you know, their rest and recovery and all of that kind of laid out for them by the medical staff is probably going to be a little different from staff to staff. So I just wouldn't, you know, worry too much about that, especially when you remember comparison is the thief of joy. That's what my mother always used to say. Kyle, how you doing? Thanks for the super chat, man. We'll be returning to Green Bay for the fourth time to watch Packers versus Bills. Just got my tickets. Go Pack Go. That is going to be an outstanding game to be at. That is going to be an outstanding day to be in Green Bay. I can't wait. I'll be there too. Hope you'll come out for a Care the G tasting the day before the game, which will be occurring hopefully before every home game this year. Be on the lookout for that information. Abdul, how are you, sir? Haven't seen you in a bit. Hey, Aaron, do you see them pursuing Braylon Allen? He's 21 and has connections to Wisconsin. Traditionally, connections to Wisconsin has meant the Packers are going to stay away. But I'm somewhat joking here, but I think it's a possibility. I think there's a long way to go in regards to any maneuvers they might make or trades they might make. I would have to think he'd be on their radar, though. When you talk about having a short list, if you do indeed intend to or need to make a move, I think it's a possibility. But again, I think we're a ways away from that materializing in any significant way. That, you know, if things play out this summer and they land in a spot where, yep, they certainly feel like they have to bolster that room, then they'll pull the trigger, and possibly with Allen. But again, I just don't see them. I want to call it overreacting, but I don't see them pulling the trigger on anything just yet. MA, how you doing, man? Hey, Nags. Hope you're doing great. Any Baron Sorrell news at OTA? Is also kind of indifferent to Josh Sweat. For Josh Sweat, I think we can use the money for offensive line and running back. Yeah, nothing that I've seen regarding Sorrell in particular, other than last week, I know, you know, he was lining up with the ones opposite Lucas Van Ness, which I think most people probably expected. But particularly as far as, you know, drill work or anything with the team sessions, I haven't seen anything on Sorrell in particular. But again, there are no pads. It's really hard when you're one of the guys in the trenches outside of where you're playing and with who. It's not much to note. You know, they can't really utilize much outside of like hand placement and things like that. When it comes to the physical side of the game, they're leaning heavily into technique so that they can look at it on film. But yeah, guys like Sorrell, you probably won't hear much about until we get to training camp, because that's when the pads come on and the physical side starts to happen and, you know, actual football starts to get played. As far as your note on Josh Sweat, yeah, it's interesting. I was reading Bill Huber's piece from, I want to say, 2 or 3 days ago, where I didn't realize this, and I was really impressed that Bill had this note. Apparently, Josh Sweat has a degenerative knee condition. That is something that he has dealt with his career, whole career. And that really changes my mind on whether the Packers would be interested. And I know the reports out there saying that there are talks. I know Matt Schneidman threw a lot of cold water on that yesterday, saying there have been no talks and they haven't been in contact at all, blah, blah, blah. I don't know anything. I'm just a fan. But I do know that a degenerative knee condition would most likely mean that the Packers medical staff would have him off their board in the draft process. And certainly during any kind of trade discussions and or potential free agent acquisitions, if they have, they being any player, some kind of degenerative issue, man, the Packers just have not been the kind of team or the kind of operation that pulls the trigger on bringing that issue into the organization. And that's no knock on the person, on the player or whatever. It is just not something that they have traditionally signed off on as a medical staff. So yeah, man, I think the Josh Sweat stuff, you're looking at it through that lens, it gets real unlikely. And then as you're saying, the, you know, the contract side of it or the money side of it, I think they could take on his contract, the new deal that he signed just last offseason, right? They have the ability to do so, especially after now June 1st with McManus and Hobbs money coming off the cap, that space being opened up, they can take it on. They can absorb it. But yeah, I get wanting to spend it elsewhere, right? As far as particularly running back or offensive line. I don't see them making a move on offensive line. I know I was just talking about a potential trade at running back. That's a possibility. I don't think it's going to be some big outlaying of cash though, right? I don't see them signing some huge free agent or bringing or trading for a guy that has a monster cap hit. So I think it's pretty negligible when you're talking about that position in particular and any kind of cap outlay. But I do think it's way more likely that they use that cap space for extensions of their own. And even in 2026, they don't really need to make too much of a kind of a huge hole, because more often than not, when you do sign a guy to an extension, the initial cap hit tends to go down, though not always, but that is generally how they operate. So all of that to say, the Josh Sweat thing feels pretty unlikely in my mind, but I've been surprised before. We shall see. FMCH, how you doing, man? Not worried about Smack missing. I'm just here for Soder and Banky melting down at least once this season over a missed field goal. Well, you know, we won't see Soder melt down because he'll leave the room. He doesn't watch special teams. And Banky, yeah, he'll be on watch party. And you 1,000% are going to see him melt down, because the kid will miss a kick at some point. That will happen. Fred, what's up, man? So did Ben Braden the year he didn't make the team. That's very random, Fred. Sometimes you got to help me out and include what you're responding to. I do remember Ben Braden, and I do remember him not making the team. Abdul, how are you, buddy? Can you explain what's going on with the Bears situation for those of us who haven't paid attention? I'm not sure the Bears are really in the know here either. I will say, I talked about it a bit a couple days ago. I did think, I want to say 2 months ago or something, at the Combine, right, when I talked to somebody who is literally in the Indiana legislature, and they were very excited and talking a big game about, oh, we're passing this bill and we're enticing the Bears and it's going to happen. And even at that point, the Combine, what is that, March, I want to say, I said, like, yeah, I still don't see it. I think Arlington Heights, they've bought land in Arlington Heights to go and build a new stadium at, but they can't get anything out of the state as far as concessions, tax breaks, whatever that they feel that is necessary for them to go forward with that kind of project in Arlington Heights. Indiana is laying out the red carpet as far as essentially not everything, but most everything the Bears would ask for or want from a tax incentive standpoint, bonds, all the stuff that the Bears are asking for when it comes to building a new facility. Indiana's laying out the red carpet, and Illinois is saying you've got to do a lot more on your own, almost all of it really on your own. And I know there was an Illinois congressperson on Chicago radio this morning talking about how it has been an impossibly tough conversation the entire time with the Bears. Just doesn't feel, I've come complete. I thought back in March that foregone conclusion, they're going to use Indiana as kind of the way the NFL uses the Packers to drive up the price. Oh, we're talking to them. We're talking to the Packers, which is kind of what this Josh Sweat stuff feels like at this point. We're talking to the Packers. Oh, but you know, they really know they're just using the team to, you know, get the asking price up. I thought for sure that's what the Bears were going to be doing with Indiana. But now, I don't know, man. It feels like there's a really good chance they end up in Indiana, because Indiana's going to give them what they want. It's crazy. Now, look, this is all very anecdotal, just reading a few articles. I don't know shit from Shinola when it comes to the inner workings of the Bears potentially moving or what have you. But I will say it feels a lot more serious now than it did 3 months ago. A lot more like it could potentially actually happen. And I know that's kind of how they undoubtedly want it. That is the idea, right? As Andrew Brandt says, deadlines spur action. So we will see how it kind of goes forward here. But as shitty as Soldier Field is, and as horrible as Bears fans can be, I will say I will feel a little, just a touch, just a tad, just the minutest, smallest amount bad for Bears fans if the team moves to Indiana. And I know ultimately, in the grand scheme of life, it's not that big a deal. But man, that is a tough pill to swallow when you are, or had been, one of the kind of cornerstone crown jewels of the NFL. to see them fall so far as to we can't even stay in Chicago, that's kind of insane. Kind of insane. Adam, how are you, sir? Thanks for the super chat. The new outdoor press conferences are quite something. Matt LaFleur having to shout over the sound of trucks backing up and a guy dragging a shovel on concrete was excellent. Go Packers PR team, go. Well, okay. I'm glad you talked about this. Well, let me address this real quick. Now, I'm not a fan of it. I know they're not live streaming them, and it's really annoying for those of us who aren't there, right? It is probably, I would suspect, way more convenient for Matt to just walk to practice and have the press gathered there and answer a couple questions and then go into practice and start things off, right? As far as, like, yes, the sounds, if you're getting video, and I know that a lot of the TV cameras are there and reporters play the video afterwards and there is a lot of noise and what have you. Just remember, those press conferences, and these in particular, are not designed for entertainment purposes. Like, it's not a show that they're putting on. It's an information gathering exercise for the press, the working media. The Packers are under no obligation to produce anything, right, as far as the production goes. And, you know, they got, you know, football to get to, and they want to get on with it, and it's probably the easiest and quickest way to do it. If the media is able to ask the coach questions, that is what the, you know, agreement between the NFL and the NFLPA and the CBA indicates. You've got to make the coach available. Well, he's available. There ain't no requirement says they got to stream it to the public. Now, I fully expect those streaming press conferences to be back in training camp, but right now, Packers are just doing as much as they can to get LaFleur in and out of there and on to practice. I can't say I'm surprised. Joe, what's going on, man? Day three pick's going to have more of a chance than normal to get in the mix. P.S. Wins at south end of practice field past the Hudson Center can be insane. Joe, yeah, that last part, people don't get it. Like, they, oh, it's Green Bay. How windy can it be? Like, blah, blah, blah. You get out there, you go to a practice, and you go to a practice on a windy day, you'll see. Like, the wind can get insane. Just the way the buildings are, it builds like a little funnel system, and then they swirl, and yeah, it's crazy. It can get stupid at Radnitsky Field. As far as day three picks go, I mean, maybe. Although the Packers have done a pretty good job of making sure that everybody, whether you're day three or undrafted, what have you, have gotten shots, right? Gotten opportunities. You know, we've talked a bit about this offseason, especially in the aftermath of the draft. There aren't a ton of starting spots available for these young guys, right? I do think there are opportunities to be in the mix rotationally for any of these guys, but it's not like the starting spots are wide open across both sides of the ball. You know, I think Burton, McClellan, etc., they've got a chance, they've got an opportunity, but yeah, the pathways and the avenues to a starting job are pretty minimal this year for day three picks or anybody else. Charm City, how you doing? See you all in New Orleans. Need someone to bring the carry the G. Shout out Packer legends Quinn Johnson and Corey Hall. Always love a fullback shout out. There you go. Come on, show those fullbacks some love since the Packers have kicked them to the curb. Yeah, baby, I'll be there in New Orleans. As far as getting some carry the G there, I'll see what I can do. I will see what I can do. Maybe I'll mail it to Sarah's parents' place, and then we'll bring it to the bar. Although I don't think the bar is going to be happy with us giving away beers. But we'll see. We'll work it out. Abdul, what's up, man? Do you see the Josh Jones situation will be a distraction? Didn't look like it would be today. Jordan Love was asked about it. And that was about the only quote I saw from the locker room regarding the Jacobs situation. Josh Jacobs won't be a distraction, I don't think. I think the whole thing will be, you know, business as usual, as Matt indicated today. Unless, obviously, there is some development on the legal side. And there's no way to say if that will occur or not. You know, now maybe there's a moment this offseason or this summer where they close the case, right? That's a possibility. There's also the possibility that it opens up and they charge him and then we're down that path. But without having a crystal ball, it's really impossible to say right here and now, early June. But again, today, it sure felt like business as usual, as they said it was business as usual. So we'll see. Simatovich, what's up, man? Bears getting the same deal the Colts did here. I don't doubt it. Like I said, I talked to a member of the legislature who was bragging about how they were laying things out for the Bears. And it's probably pretty enticing if you're the McCaskies. I have zero doubt. Because the McCaskies, struggling with the same things that Mark Davis struggles with the Raiders, and, you know, Bengals ownership deals with the same stuff because they are these legacy families that are not in, like, close to the league of some of these other owners and ownership groups that are taking in millions upon millions of dollars from private equity and things like that, and have their own other businesses that they're, you know, drawing from. You know, the McCaskies are not even close to that league. So I'm sure the Bears not giving them a whole lot probably does make that move to Indiana really enticing. No doubt about it. Soder, what's up? New York set a new bar for billionaire welfare. Well, obviously they did. Look at me here. That's why I live here. They love me here in my billionaire ways. I'm kidding. Danny, what's up? Matt LaFleur shouted, do this with players occasionally. Lieutenant Dan. I've seen him lose his top. The biggest time ever was it last summer or was it 2 summers ago when Rasheed Walker got into it with somebody. I can't remember who it was. And man, LaFleur lost his ever-loving mind. Actually made him run a lap, which I don't think I've seen since high school. But yeah, Matt LaFleur shouts every once in a while. It happens. No question about it. All right, everybody. I gotta get going. I cannot thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Patreon members, Carry the G Club members, don't forget, happy hour at the top of the hour. The information you need is on your respective pages. I will see you there. Everyone else, please do me a monster favor. Hit like on the video, subscribe to the channel, and then tell your friends and tell your family, Cheesehead TV. We are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great night. Go Pack, go.